谢谢他们那么慢的石头的喜欢。好多的人是我的爸爸的爸爸的So today is the most wonderful appearance day of Nilsitana Mahaprabhu, who has descended in this world a little over 500 years ago. So everyone can be seated, or at least fairly quiet soon, so we can begin the glorification of Nilsitana. We'll begin with verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.5.32, also quoted Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 3.52. Krishna Vanatisha Krishnam Sangopam Rastraparashadam Jagmai Sankirtana Prayar Vijanti He Sumedhasa. In this age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So this is one of the most important verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam that predicts the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the incarnation of Krishna, it's not just declared by certain people, yes, this is an incarnation of Krishna. Actually, they're all predicted within the revealed scriptures of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is accepted as the Yuga avatar for this age of Kali Yuga, and as an incarnation of Krishna. He's predicted in the Padma, Narada, Matsya, and Agni Puranas. And the Buddhists accept a genuine incarnation of the Lord based upon the revealed scriptures. In the Narada Purana, it stated, O demigods, please come and advent as devotees on this earth in the age of Kali Yuga. I will incarnate as the son of Sachi to inaugurate the congregational chanting of the holy name. In the Brahma Purana, Krishna says, I will reveal my eternal golden form in the first part of Kali Yuga. I will advent on the earth in the bank of the Bhagirathi as the son of Mother Sachi. So we can understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the bona fide incarnation of the Lord. In fact, not more than just an incarnation, but actually the appearance of the Lord himself. So why does Krishna appear on this earth? Well, we know from the Bhagavad Gita, of course, there are three primary reasons why Krishna incarnates. He comes, according to the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, to Parachanaya Sarana, Vanashaya Chidushkatam, Vana Samsatamartala, Sambhu Rama Yuge Yuge, in order to give pleasure to the devotees, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish the principles of religion. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came for those reasons, but specifically it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he came for both internal and external reasons that he appeared upon this earth. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes as three internal reasons why Krishna appeared in this form. I'm not going to go into these in detail, but they're described there within the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Basically, those three reasons are that Krishna desired to relish the mellow of love and devotion as the object. In other words, in the mood of Radharani, rather than being the subject of that devotion. He desired to understand the mellow of himself. Why is it that he attracted everyone? Krishna is all attractive. So why is he all attractive? What about him attracts all of humanity? So he wanted to experience that. And he also wanted to enjoy the sweetness tasted by Radharani. So for those reasons, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as his own devotee. Krishna came as a devotee of Krishna in both the color and the mood of Radharani. So it's described that Radha and Krishna are one, but they became eternally separated, and now, in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are one again. So this is, of course, a sort of an esoteric understanding of our philosophy. And it's important for the devotees to understand because it is very deep. But we also understand other reasons why Lord Gauranga came into this world. Not only to understand this relationship of Lord Radharani, but he came for specific purposes, to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement and to make the world Krishna conscious. I think they may have been reading for some of the same part earlier in the announcements, but this is from the Chaitanya Mangala, page 18 and 19, where Krishna is discussing with Narada Muni his plan for coming to this world as Gauranga. He says, I shall become a devotee myself in order to taste the happiness relished by my pure devotees. Not only will I experience the bliss of Prema Bhakti, but I will give it out to everyone in the world. Adoring the Supreme Lord, I will appear as my own devotee. In association of other devotees, I will freely distribute my love by performing Harinam Sankirtan, congregational chanting of my holy names. I will appear in the transcendental abode of Navadvip and treating Mayapur within the home of Satyamata. Then Krishna explained the qualities of his incarnation Kali Yuga, by which he would attract the conditioned souls. Lord Krishna said, Narada, my transcendental body will be tall, molten gold in color, and my arms will be long and beautiful. The incomparable beauty of my golden form will defeat the beauty of Mount Simutsumeru. While absorbed in this ecstasy, Lord Krishna suddenly showed his form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Narada Muni fainted in divine rapture upon beholding this most beautiful form of Lord Krishna, which would appear in the coming age. Lord Chandras, author of Chaitanya Mangala, says this was the first time that Lord Krishna revealed the transcendental form of Lord Gauranga, the beautiful golden Lord saturated with pure love of God. So, we talked about some of the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming, but his external reasons are, of course, very important to basically everyone in the universe, and specifically to his devotees. So, he came to propagate the Yuga Dharma, the Sankirtan Jagya. As we know, the earth goes through different cycles, and each of these cycles, in Kali Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Satya Yuga, there's a different form of self-realization, a different path or process by which the people in that age can become self-realized and can understand the relationship with God. And of course, in former ages, those paths were more difficult because people had more advanced qualities, long lives, great minds and memories. Kali Yuga, not so much. It was difficult for people to take up self-realization. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came specifically to propagate this Sankirtan Jagya in this age of Kali. And it comes at a very specific time. Actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only comes once in the day of Lord Brahma. In a thousand yuga cycles, there's always a Kali Yuga incarnation or avatar. There's the Yuga avatar for every age. But he does not always come as Lord Chaitanya. This form only appears once out of a thousand cycles. And it's very specific. This is Krishna Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 3.10, and then the verses on from there. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga, of the 28th Divya Yuga, that's the 28th cycle, actually in, is it the 7th Manvantara? Which one are we in? Sutashva? Okay, in that particular manor, which is, I think, 74 Yuga cycles, there's 14 manors in Vedic Brahma. What is it?
71,
okay. So in the 28th one, Lord Krishna appears on earth with the full paraphernalia of his eternal Vrajadam. Absorbed in such transcendental love, Lord Sri Krishna enjoys a Vraja with his devoted servants, friends, parents, and conjugal lovers. So Krishna is also coming in this very specific Yuga cycle, once in a day. Then Lord Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastimes as long as he wishes, and then disappears. After disappearing, however, he thinks thus, for a long time I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such love and attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. Knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration. devotion made feeble by such reverence does not attract me. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, non sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. Thinking thus, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna himself, descended at Nadia early in the age of Kali. The religious practice for the age of Kali is to broadcast the glories of the holy name. Only for this purpose has the Lord, in a yellow color, descended as Lord Chaitanya. So, as we said, Krishna inaugurates the Sankirtan Yajna. He comes to establish religious principles. Of course, the Sankirtan Yajna being the religious principle for this age, he certainly comes to protect his devotees. We have so many wonderful stories throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavata, etc., in the incredible ecstatic pastimes between Krishna's devotees, which are so filled with love and relationship. And, they're just incredible pastimes, which are so engaging. But what about the third reason that Krishna comes? The Nasharacha Dushkritam, to kill the Dushkritams, or the miscreants. Well, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation, he gives pure love of God, he does not kill the non-devotees, he does not kill any demons, but he delivers the demoniac mentality. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes not to kill demons, but to kill the demoniac mentality within the hearts and the minds of most of the people in Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada explains this in the lecture of C.C. Adi 7.3. Prabhupada says, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to kill the demon, but not by their life, but by their heinous activities. Anyone who comes to be killed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his heinous, nefarious activities become killed, and he becomes a Vaishnav, just like Jagai and Madai. So at the present moment, the whole world is filled with Jagai and Madai, which are the four principles. Jagai and Madai means illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. This is Jagai and Madai. So this movement, Krishna conscious movement, is killing the Jagai and Madai principles of no illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. So on one side, killing the Jagai and Madai principle, and the other side, protection, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is the purpose of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He comes to kill the demoniac mentality, to raise people from material consciousness. And in Kali Yuga, everyone basically is in material consciousness. So as Lord Chaitanya Prabhu said to him in the pastime of Jagannatha, you have come here to make everyone Krishna conscious. If you are going to kill everyone who's not Krishna consciousness, then you have to kill everyone in the world. So we simply cannot do that. You have come here to save, to deliver the conditioned souls, to give them your mercy, to give them your kindness and your love. That is the purpose of Lord Chaitanya. So the meaning for us of Lord Chaitanya's appearance is several things. First of all, we have this, as Prabhupada said, simple but sublime process of self-realization is chanting of the holy name, which is very profound, which is very deep, but at the same time very simple. As we're saying, because of this age of Kali and the disqualifications that humanity has during this dark age, Lord Chaitanya had to give us the most simple process of simply congregational chanting, Sankirtan Yajna. And at the same time, one gains the highest result, actually being able to develop Krishna Prema, pure love of God. So, as I've often said, this is a great deal that we have. How can you beat that? Having the simplest process, the highest philosophy, and the most ecstatic, wonderful results. So, Vaishnavism is a very deep philosophy. It is not sentiment. Now, Vaishnavism had degraded somewhat in time after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And our great acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and our Srila Prabhupada had to revive this Vaishnavism. We revive this philosophy. Because it was often thought to be simply sentimental. Or there's people simply chanting and dancing and no real philosophy behind it. Of course, this is very erroneous. The philosophy of Krishna consciousness that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us is the deepest philosophical understanding of the absolute truth. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not only came to give the simple process of chanting, but he also came within a historical development. Of course, this is all his time. Historical development to establish the highest principles of the absolute truth within this world. So we know that, of course, things became degraded in Kali Yuga. The Vedas were being misused for animal sacrifice, things like this. Basically, what we, I guess you can even call Vaishnavism, which you might call Hinduism, where Vedic principles had degraded to a point where it was simply ritualistic. And these rituals are often meant simply for sense gratification, meeting, etc. So Lord Buddha came, what is he, about 500 BC? What was the time of Buddha? Who remembers? About 2,500 years ago, yeah, about 500 BC. And so Lord Buddha, who was, of course, the incarnation of Krishna, came for the express purpose of stopping animal killing, stopping ritualistic sacrifice, and so doing that, he had to throw out the Vedas. He told people, don't disregard the Vedas. Disregard all of these rituals, all of these different practices. They are simply leading to a bad result. And therefore, he taught ahimsa, nonviolence, and restored some good qualities to the people in general. Now, of course, after that, we had a situation where Buddhism was thriving, but where were the Vedas? Where was Vedic knowledge? Where was knowledge of the absolute truth? And certainly there was no personalism, where Buddha taught basically Buddhism, you know, not a relationship with God. So then comes, I think about 700 AD, Sankaracharya. What is it?
786.
786, thank you. I've got my encyclopedia here. It's so right there. 786 AD, Sankaracharya. At least I had the right century. Sankaracharya appeared. You know, Lord Sankaracharya was at least a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. So he came also as part of Krishna's plan. And Sankaracharya wanted to reestablish the Vedas. But because everybody were voidists and completely there was no personalism, there was no belief in God, he taught impersonalism, or what is sometimes called Kevala Dvaita Vada, or monism. Everything is one. We are all God. There is one undifferentiated spiritual energy, Brahman, that is absolute. There's no differentiation, there's no distinction between God and the living entity. So he taught very strongly, very powerful philosophy. Many people, at least they accepted the Vedas again, but they accepted a specific interpretation that Sankaracharya gave them. So after that, we have a few hundred years of the revival of Vaishnavism. And we have, we have historically, now before this, we have four Vaishnava Sampradayas. We have the Brahma Sampradaya, the Vrija Sampradaya, the Lakshmi or Sri Sampradaya, and the Kumaras. So representing those four Sampradayas are four great Acharyas who appear between Sankaracharya and Lord Chaitanya through that Middle Ages sort of time period. Now, without being too technical, but it's rather interesting that of these four great teachers, they all brought something to our current understanding of Vaishnavism, which helped defeat Sankaracharya's Kevalavada monism. Sri Ramanacharya had a philosophy, this by the way, I'm not just making this up, this is from Adilaya 7.1.10.101, Srila Prabhupada explains these. Sri Ramanacharya taught Vishtadvaitavada, which is called specific monism. And the definitions I'm giving actually come from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Since the Supreme Lord is the only reality and truth, Advaita, yet he accepts the distinct designations, the Shishta, of that are Chit, transcendental, and Achit, material. In Sri Madhavacharya, of course, who is in the line that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in, taught Shuddha Dvaita Vada, or something called Tattva Vada, which is called purified monism. that the Jiva is distinct and separate from the Supreme Lord, that his inherent nature is to be subordinate to the Lord and to serve him. And Sri Vishwaswami taught Shuddhadvaitavada, purified dualism, although the absolute reality of truth is one, divinity and humanity are eternally different. And then Sri Nimbarkacharya taught Dvaitadvaitavada, which is called pure dualism. This is probably the closest to what Chaitanya's philosophy, that the Jiva and the Supreme Lord are simultaneously different and non-different, thus confirming the eternal difference between them. Everybody still with me? Okay, good. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the elements of all of these philosophies and developed the most refined and the deepest philosophy called the Chintabheda-Veda Tattva. Inconceivable, simultaneous, oneness, and difference. So, as I said, he took the key philosophical points from each of the Vaishnava Sampradayas, from Madhva, he refuted Madhva's Mayavadi philosophy and established the transcendental service of the Murti of Sri Krishna. Ramanuja taught the tenets of bhakti unpolluted by karma and jnana in service to the Vaishnavas. From Vishnuswami, we got exclusive dependence upon Krishna in the path of Radha Bhakti. And from Nimbarka, he taught the process of taking shelter of the lotus feet of God and Krishna in the love of the gopis as the highest spiritual attainment. So before then, with many of the Vaishnava Sampradayas, we didn't have an established world of worship of Radha and Krishna as we know many in the other Sampradayas, like in the Madhva and the Ramanujas, they tend to worship more the Vishnu or the Narayan form of Krishna rather than Radha Krishna as we do. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established this Ajanta Vedavada type of philosophy. And of course it was more elaborated later by the six Goswamis. Jiva Goswami specifically was the main proponent, later Baladeva Vijayavishnu and others, more and more refined the understanding. They took basically the same philosophy, but expanded in many ways so that we could understand fully this philosophy. So we can understand this is not sentiment. This is pretty deep. This is a very, very wonderful understanding of how Krishna and the living entity are qualitatively one, but are quantitatively different. And Prabhupada's given us so many examples of that, like you take a drop of water and you take the ocean. They have the same chemical composition, the same quality, but obviously the drop of water is very small and the ocean is very huge, very great. Or you take the sun and a ray of that sunshine, or you take a fire and a spark from that fire. Same quality, but very different quantity. So you have the infinite and the infinitesimal Jiva living entity. So this is one of the understandings of this philosophy. Also part of the understanding that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us that Krishna has both personal and impersonal feature. And he always keeps his identity. This is we hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmatmi, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti Shantate. There are different features, different aspects of Krishna, both the personal and impersonal. We also understand that nothing is different from the Absolute. Krishna is the source of everything, but yet he has variegated energies. And he does not lose himself as he expands these energies, as the Mayavadis would say. But somehow he expands himself in everything, and then where is God? Where is Krishna? It says in Bhagavad Gita 9:4 says, by me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So Krishna does not lose his separate identity. Therefore, he is simultaneously one and different with everything. So Krishna's creation is understood by understanding his energies. That's really the secret to understanding Vaishnava philosophy. Yes, God is one, but yet God is variegated. He expands his many energies, his spiritual energy, his material energy, and he expands as Tatishta Shakti, as the living entity, the Jiva. So all of these are existing together, and yet Krishna remains the one supreme controller. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu certainly gave us this very, very deep philosophy. Of course, he only left us the eight Shikshaskan verses that he personally wrote, But he instructed his followers, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, throughout the middle chapters or the end chapters of Majjhima, in all of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So Vaidyanathan wrote down in so many books that we are left by the six Goswamis to understand the highest principles of Krishna consciousness. Probably for most of us, more important than a esoteric understanding of Siddhanta, of philosophy, is the fact that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful, most beneficent incarnation of the Lord. The Mahamahavanaya Krishna Prema Brihadayate. He is the most merciful because he has given us Krishna Prema, pure love of God, to all of us conditioned souls in this Kali Yuga. So, as you know, there is a Sangatana movement. The purpose is to deliver all of the jivas in Kali Yuga, to be able to give God consciousness to every living entity. And that is done through the power of the Holy Name. The Holy Name has such power. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is invested in this Holy Name and given to us, that it both purifies us as unqualified as we are in this Kali Yuga age, and also at the same time gives us the greatest pleasure of Krishna consciousness. So in the introduction to Srila Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes, in fact, in Kali Yuga, all yogis' sacrifices are forbidden because they are useless attempts by foolish men. In Kali Yuga, only the Sankirtan yogi is recommended for all practical purposes. And in the purport, Bhagavatam 1826, Prabhupada says, it is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of the quantity of sins more than he is able to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. And Haridas Thakur says, similarly, even before one's chanting the holy name is pure, one is freed from all sinful reactions, and when he chants purely, he becomes a lover of Krishna. So, of course, Haridas Thakur is the Navacharya of the holy name, the great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He explains very thoroughly the great power of the holy name of the Lord. But even in the very beginning stages of Namabhasa, which is described like the beginning rays of the sun beginning to show in the east, at that very beginning stage, a little glimmer or glimpse of the holy name, one begins to become purified, and one begins to understand and appreciate and experience the pleasure and the ecstasy of the holy name of the Lord, and how that holy name is no different than Krishna himself. So Narada says in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.24, when a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. So on one hand, there is the purification of the heart that comes about by the chanting. And on the other hand is the pleasure that one experiences in contact with Krishna, understanding that Krishna is not different than his name. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to show us this and to demonstrate it and to teach it. So we see in all the examples of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees how they were always chanting the holy name. They began the Sankirtan in the home of Srivas and other places where the chanting was going on continually. And the devotees were experiencing the greatest ecstasy and the greatest pleasure through that chanting. Right? So, it certainly was not just dry philosophy, but it was also experiencing God through his holy name and experiencing Krishna Prana, the love of God, our love for Krishna and Krishna's love for us, which come through the holy name. So, this process of the holy name helps us to again establish our Swarupa, our Sanatana Dharma, our original constitutional position as pure part and parcels of God who are in a living relationship with him. We've forgotten that relationship. We have been covered by lifetime after lifetime, this material world, going through so many different material bodies. But now, through the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the opportunity is there for every living entity to realize that spiritual nature again, to understand who we are, what is our purpose in life, and what is our relationship with God. So how can we ever overestimate the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he's come and he's given us this. He's given it freely, with no charge. Prabhupada said, well, there's a little bit of charge. One has to be sincere. That's all it takes. One has to be a little bit sincere in taking up this holy name. A little bit serious. And of course, as we advanced, there's a few roles that come along the way. You know, there's some process of purification, but the process of purification is aided and enhanced by the holy name itself. Prabhupada does say, this Krishna consciousness is made of do not, or don't do this, or take it. It's, you simply take the process. You know, don't even worry about giving up in the beginning. Just take Krishna consciousness. Take this philosophy, read these books, and most important, chant the holy names of the Lord. And so, everybody here, at least probably, I would say everybody in this room, and probably many other people listening, and hundreds of people in the area, have all experienced this. Devotees have experienced the power of the holy name. They've experienced that when one does begin to chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada said it's like when you're chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna's dancing on your tongue. Well, you may not always experience Krishna dancing on your tongue, but you experience the result. The result is that one becomes happy. One becomes free from anxiety. One begins to understand philosophical knowledge. Through this process of bhakti yoga, knowledge and renunciation, vairagya, are concomitant byproducts. It is not that we have to learn so much and we have to become so austere and then we understand Krishna consciousness. Rather, we take up the process of bhakti and then knowledge is revealed to us and naturally our material desires fade away. They go away. Maybe not all at once, but eventually over time through sincere chanting. We see that. And the other thing that we understand and we experience and we appreciate is the growing of faith. How one's faith develops, not through some sentiment, not through a so-called religious process, but by the deep spiritual process of understanding God. Because Krishna, through his holy name, through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, reveals himself to the devotees. And he reveals himself in so many ways. That we can actually understand that Krishna and his name are none different. We experience a little bit of Krishna when we sincerely chant the holy name in japa or kirtan or however it may be. We experience a little bit of Krishna when we sincerely read the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's words. Because those processes of hearing and chanting are so powerful. And why do we realize Krishna? Because the heart has become purified. That is the power of the holy name. To purify the heart and bring us more to Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that he not only helps us to become Krishna conscious, but he engages us in his pastimes. What is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime? His pastime is to make the world Krishna conscious, right? He has his own internal pastimes he's doing with his confidential devotees when he's there in Jagannath-puri. But for the rest of us, he's saving the conditioned souls through the holy name for sankirtan. That's Lord Chaitanya's pastime. So are we part of their pastime? Absolutely. Srila Prabhupada brought us in to their pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great pastime of making the world Krishna conscious. What could be a higher goal? What could be a more lofty ambition or greater motivation for any one of us? Krishna Prabhupada said to me, I wrote an initiation letter, very simple, just make the world perfect by giving everyone Krishna conscious. That's all. That was Srila Prabhupada's instructions to all of us, actually. That was our mission, to make the world perfect. And he said, by systematic propaganda work, by the systematic, giving of Krishna consciousness to the world. So, of course, Prabhupada knew how to do this very expertly. He was guided by Krishna Dajitanya Mahaprabhu, as Dajitanya's great devotee, his field commander in this Western world. He came here to give us that, and he knew how to do it with expertise. He knew how to engage us in Dajitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan pastimes. So, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, when we are going out to give Krishna consciousness or bring people here to give Krishna consciousness, we are engaged in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 939, he made this very clear. He said, distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. So people need goals, they want inspiration. What could be more inspiring? Make one's own life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, this is not only the duty of Indians, but the duty of everyone. So those of you not born in the land of Bharatvarsha, don't get off. This is not only the duty of Indians, but the duty of everyone. And we are very happy that American and European boys and girls are seriously cooperating with this movement. One should know definitely that the best welfare activity for all human society is to awaken man's God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Therefore, everyone should help this great movement. So there was this great revival of Lord Chaitanya's movement, the Sankirtan Jagya, which of course when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and for a couple of generations was very, very strong. We had the first Sankirtan parties taking books to Orissa and Bengal with, who was it, Narottam, Lokanath, and Srinivas, he instructed them, Shamananda. So, the Sankirtan movement was really started way back then. But then it sort of lingered for a while. And then as we're saying, then it was revived again by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And they had this idea that they had to bring Krishna consciousness to the world, to everyone. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur started his Namahatma programs. Starting in every town and village, they would have gatherings of people who'd come together and learn about Krishna, they chant the holy name. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj started temples throughout India. And he began the first process of sending Krishna consciousness to the Western world, where he sent some of his devotees to London and the places. They were so successful. But he knew that Srila Prabhupada would complete his mission. He knew that, and he mentioned that. He said, well, others are not so successful. He said, that is all right. Abhaya will do it. And he did. So Srila Prabhupada continued the mission with full faith, understanding Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire to bring the holy name to every town and village. So Srila Prabhupada began that with enthusiasm, began book distribution in large scale, started over 100 temples throughout the world. And now, as the energy, the spiritual shakti coming from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the Civic Association through Srila Prabhupada is continuing, we see that we have, in 2014, we had 500 million books distributed. Throughout the world. 500 million of Srila Prabhupada's books distributed in 87 languages. So, this is certainly pleasing to Lord Chaitanya, as he is seeing the holy name spread all over the world, every town and village, 87 different languages. And not only is the message of Krishna consciousness going out, but the glorification of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also continuing. Until fairly recently, almost nobody out of Bengal knows who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Isn't that true? Those of you from India, if you weren't from Bengal, you probably didn't know too much about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's not really well known. Now, his glories are being known everywhere. I remember when we were young devotees, Sri Prabhupada had us in temples before we had such wonderful, beautiful deities. We were a neophyte, we didn't really have the knowledge or facility. I remember it was a big deal. Someone was a Brahmin initiated, there was only a couple, usually in the temple. So we didn't have a lot of deity worship, but we always had what we called the Guru Garuda altar. We had a picture of Panchatattva and pictures from the Prabhupada. That was a basic altar. So Srila Prabhupada began teaching us about Lord Chaitanya right from the beginning. Sometimes we have this concern, if we don't have Radha Krishna deities, how will people understand Gauri-Thaya? How will people understand? Well, if they don't understand, that's our opportunity to teach them. We need to tell people who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, who the Panchatattva is, who are Gauri-Thaya in their glories. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yugadana avatar, the incarnation of Krishna, come in this age. So we should very proudly and happily and enthusiastically tell people who is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and what he has given us, what he has brought to this world, how he has come to save the conditioned souls in this Kali Yuga, and given this wonderful chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to everyone. So in this way, as we continue this Krishna conscious movement, as direct glorification of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is directly pleasing to him. Once Srila Prabhupada said, how do we approach Krishna? Through Radharani. How do you approach Radha Krishna? Through approaching Gauri-Thaya. You approach Lord Chaitanya through Lord Nityananda. And you approach Lord Nityananda by approaching Jagannadai. Yes. So in other words, when we go out and approach the Jagannadais to give them Krishna consciousness, we are pleasing Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, and Radha Krishna. Not to speak of our Guru, whose mission that is. Right. So, we have a wonderful opportunity every day to continue this glorification of Lord Chaitanya. And of course, particularly on this appearance day, we want to deeply think about Lord Chaitanya, meditate upon Gauranga, and we'll have opportunity throughout the day. I think we have a few minutes, so I thought I would just end by actually reading about the appearance from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And for all, this is what we're celebrating today, the actual moment, the time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will appear in this world. So this is Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila 13:77-88. In the month of January, in the year 1406 of the Shaka era, AD 1485, Lord Krishna entered the bodies of both Jagannath Mishra and Sachi. Jagannath Mishra said to Sachi Mata, "I see wonderful things. Your body is effulgent and appears as if the goddess of fortune were now staying personally in my home. Anywhere, everywhere I go, all people offer me respect. Even without my asking, they voluntarily give me riches, clothing, and paddy." You know what paddy is? Is it rice?
Yeah.
Okay. Sachi Mata told her husband, "I see wonderfully brilliant human beings appearing in outer space, as if offering prayers." Jagannath Mishra then replied, "In a dream I saw the effulgent abode of the Lord enter my heart. From my heart it entered your heart. I therefore understand that a great personality was sent to take birth." Just like the birth of Lord Krishna, right? Into the heart of Vasudeva to Devaki. After this conversation, both husband and wife were very jubilant. And together they rendered service to the household Shalagram Shila. In this way, the pregnancy approached its 13th month, but still there was no sign of the delivery of a child. And every mother here understands what that would mean. 13 months, still pregnant. Thus, Jagannath Mishra became greatly apprehensive. Mumbai Chakravarti, the grandfather of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Men did an astrological calculation and said that that very month, taking advantage of an auspicious moment, the child would take birth. That's in the year 1407 of the Shaka era, AD 1486, in the month of Phalguna, in the evening of the full moon day, the desired auspicious moment arrived. When the spotless moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became visible, what would be the need for a moon full of black marks on its body? Considering this, Rahu, the black planet, covered the full moon, and immediately vibrations of Krishna, Krishna, Hari, inundated the three worlds. All people thus chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra during the lunar eclipse, and their minds were struck with wonder. In other words, it's considered inauspicious that there's an eclipse, so everyone was chanting Hare Krishna to counteract the effects of the eclipse. So that's how Lord Chaitanya planned this. All people thus chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra during the lunar eclipse, and their minds were struck with wonder. When the whole world was thus chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in the form of Gaurahari, advented himself on the earth. The whole world was pleased. While the Hindus chanted the holy name of the Lord, the non-Hindus, especially the Muslims, jokingly imitated the words. While all the ladies vibrated the holy name of Hari on earth, and the heavenly planets, dancing and music were going on, for the demigods were very curious. In this atmosphere, all 10 directions became jubilant, as did the waves of the river. Moreover, all beings, moving and non-moving, were overwhelmed with transcendental bliss. Thus, by his causeless mercy, the full moon, Gaurahari, rose in the district of Nadia. His rising in the sky dissipated the darkness of sinful life, and thus the three worlds became joyful and chanted the holy name of the Lord. Jai Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Jai Shri Garanga. Jai Prabhupada. So, someone would like to any comments or add anything? I think we have a few minutes. We want to set it up here. A question?
Could you repeat the three
external and internal reasons? I'm sorry? Could you repeat the three external and internal reasons? Ah, okay. The three internal reasons were, one, desire to relish the mellow of loving devotion as the object rather than the subject. In other words, in the mood of Radharani, the object. Two, the desire to understand the mellow of himself, and why he was attracted to everyone. And third, to enjoy the sweetness tasted by Radharani. So he came to Radharani's moon so he could experience that. And then, of course, the external reasons were to propagate the Sankirtan Yajna, the Yuga Dharma of the age, and, of course, to destroy the demoniac mentality and to give pleasure to his devotees. Okay? Right. Krishna. Yes? Okay, well, we'll soon have our...
There's a silver Mazda
out
there
with the
lights on.
Okay, we have a silver Mazda with its lights on. A little silver Mazda, okay. If anybody wants to turn the lights on, you'll be able to start your car. Okay. Jai, I'll go with Lord Chaitanya. Hare Krishna.
I'm going to go to the next one.
Yeah.